Bob, wouldn't you say that the profession of sportscaster, and it really doesn't do it justice because you're so well-read, but it's a humbling position because there's always someone who's not happy with your opinion. There's always someone who's not happy with how you look. Has that gotten to the point where it doesn't matter anymore, sort of like a player getting used to playing in front of 80,000 people? After a while, it just becomes the background?
Well, you have to understand that while criticism always comes with a territory for any public figure, that's always been true, the atmosphere has changed in that respect almost exponentially with the advent of a certain kind of sports talk radio, a certain kind of cable TV culture and tone, throw the internet in, and so the people who are the snarkiest or the most mean-spirited or want to just launch ad hominem attacks and think that qualifies as commentary, those people are everywhere. Look at the tone of political campaigns today. It doesn't have to be true. It doesn't have to be fair. It doesn't have to make sense. Just take a shot at somebody. And so when that's the atmosphere, I would think that if Jim McKay were around today on the air, or if Vin Scully were just starting out and he was doing national broadcasts, make a list of the people you most admire, whose work is most deserving of respect. Even they would have some people taking pot shots at them. And in many cases, it says much more about the people doing the pot shotting than it does about those at whom it's directed. None of us is above reasonable and constructive criticism. But a lot of what's buzzing around in the whole culture today, not just about sports or about broadcasting, but about everything, is some combination of mean-spirited, uninformed, and stupid. And no reasonable person would take that to heart. You have to be open to constructive criticism. You have to be critical of yourself. But you don't need to take to heart every bit of nonsense that's out there. And there's so many more places for that nonsense to show up now because there's so many more outlets. So you have to take that into account, otherwise you'd lose your sanity.
Yeah, and I think also those journalists like yourself that are in it for the right reasons, which is, I think, to convey an entertaining but hopefully reasonably profound, insightful portrayal of reality so that people can see the world with all its colors. They can see the drama itself, and they're able to take the ego out of it. Walter Cronkite comes to mind, obviously, is one of the great figures in that as well. But in the last couple paragraphs, you use the phrases ad hominem and pot shotting. So I like the fact, Bob, that we can create and enlarge the English language even as we make our points. Not too many radio shows probably have both those in the same paragraph. But let's talk about, just for one more second, your background on Long Island. I had those three glorious years on, with the Jets, and the last two with Richie Coatside. I think we were like 4-28.
It builds character, Nick.
It built a lot of character. If that's about character, that's what it built. What was it like for you growing up on Long Island with your exposure to the media capital of the world itself, the Yankees, the Mets, the Knicks, et cetera, and how that influenced the way you go about your job?
Well, it's a good question, because that was a perfect place for a kid who was interested in broadcasting and interested in journalism to absorb a lot of it. This is the pre-ESPN, the pre-internet days, but there were two teams, at least two teams, in every sport in the New York area. So you had all these radio broadcasts, all these television broadcasts. A higher percentage of games at that time were on local TV in New York than in most other cities. And a very large percentage of the top New York broadcasters were truly legendary figures. Mel Allen and Red Barber and the young Vin Scully and Marty Glickman and Lindsey Nelson, people like that. And so even though I never tried to copy another broadcaster, they instilled in me a love not only for the games, but of games well-described, broadcast with a high level of craftsmanship and talent. And so that drew me in. And as I said, I never copied them, but I became interested in what they did, and I took note of how they did it, and I think that helped to shape me.